So today we're going to be in the end of Hebrews 7, where we left off 2 weeks ago, in I believe in verse 20, and we should, God willing, finish Hebrews 8 today as well. So let me pray, and then we'll do a quick review, and we'll get started. So thank you, God, again for today. Thank you for getting us all here, getting us here through the rain, the weather, helping us, empowering us to quiet the voice of our flesh, to stay in bed, and to stay under the covers. So we thank you, God, for getting us here. Please speak to us, God, supernaturally. Speak to us, touch on the different things that we've maybe been praying to you about. Give us answers. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to understand your scriptures and to apply them in our lives and to share with others. I pray for the fellowship here. Please raise up teachers, raise up leaders, God, that want to serve you and be used by you. God, we want you to take over all of our lives, not just on Sunday, not just during church, but please help us to give all our lives to you that we can just be living sacrifices for you, God. Thank you for your sacrifice, for your example. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a review, right? We're in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, as you remember, was written to the Jewish Church of Christ. Okay, they wanted to go back to traditions. They wanted to go back to things that they grew up kind of learning. And the writer here is trying to encourage them that Jesus is above all of those. He fulfilled all those. You can't go back to traditions. There's nothing in them. Okay. We need to be reminded of those things as well. The writer of Hebrews is establishing Jesus as greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than the priesthood. All right. Even as Christians, we need to be freed from traditions and procedures. Anything that supersedes Jesus and his word. Right? Could be holiday traditions, could be family traditions, things that can get into the way of us doing things that may get in, that go against God's word. Yes, last week I was in the children's church and we went over Acts 19 and 20, and there was some reference to guarding against, it was the town that Paul was in. Paul was in this town. And there was, after they became saved, they burned like millions of dollars worth of these books, like that were magic books and, witchcraft and stuff. And it was like, it was glorious. The people were like, we don't need these anymore. We have Jesus. And even today, though, those things are still trying to creep into our lives through the children. Right, through movies, through things that Disney puts out, growing up watching The Wizard of Oz, there's bad witches, there's good witches. There's no such thing as bad or good witches. It's just witches, right, and witchcraft. And in Deuteronomy, God condemns all those things, right? And the devil comes as an angel of light, and it's very subtle. And there's a lot of things that they want to get our kids. And, like, they always interweave these things for no reason. Like, they don't have to. So we have to be on guard. The kids don't know. And then it creates and establishes certain things. But those are the things that, we have to be careful of. And we have to force ourselves to conform to God's word, use discernment. Because sometimes they'll even use, like, real spells, like, that are from real witchcraft books in these movies. And, like, these kids, the kids are saying them in the house, So we just have to be on guard because the enemy does walk around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have to stay close to God, listen, have our discernment. If something doesn't feel right, I'll bring it to God. And, these are real things, and these are, just applicable things we could apply to our Christian faith. So it kind of ties in today as well. So last week, we looked at Melchizedek, okay? Today, we're going to move on a little bit from that, but, I hope you guys were blessed by that. I mean, he's such a random character that was put in, but we can learn a lot from that. And just like we're not justified by the law, justified, you could take it as justified, I've never sinned, like your account is clear, like we talked about. We're not justified by the priestly order of Levi. Okay, and today we're going to focus on something very exciting in the Christian world that we, you know, that we have through Jesus, and this is something called the New Covenant. The New Covenant that we have that's fulfilled in Jesus. So we're living this out right now. So this is prophesied. So this is from the book of Jeremiah. And the book of Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet. This is going to be found in the Jewish scriptures, okay? And if you guys would like to follow along, it's on the board. But it's if you want to take notes, it's Jeremiah 31:31. This is a good one, and it's also easy to remember. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, this is speaking of future. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So this is what we're living in right now. We're living this out. This is the new covenant, the new promise that God was going to give to, you know, to the world. And this is what we're living in. And remember, in Matthew 5:17-18, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. This is speaking of Jesus, okay? Jesus is saying this. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will be by no means passed from the law till all is fulfilled. So Jesus, a jot and tittle would be like a comma or like a little mark in Hebrew. It's like the smallest letter is not, I'm not changing it, right? So a lot of Jews, you know, Muslims, people who speak against Christianity, they believe that that Jesus established a new religion. Jesus didn't establish a new religion. It's not about religion. He's fulfilling the original plan that he had out from the beginning. He separated the Jewish people, right? And he came to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And then he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on everyone. We're going to read that, now it's for everybody. Okay. In Luke 22:20. So when did this new covenant start? Okay. That started, we all remember this, but I don't know if we all really take the significance of what happened in Luke 22:20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. What is that? What did he say? The new covenant. So he's saying that this new promise is starting with him. It's like, you know, this is it. This is the fulfillment. And it's cool because every month, you know, Pastor Drew goes through this and he always reads it all, right? And it's like, oh man, he's reading it again. Like we just heard it like last month, right? And it's been, you know, I've been here for, you know, 20 years and every month, right? It's over and over. So like, I remember it, right? And that's the point. But you know, in hearing it so much, we don't want to lose the significance that this is the new covenant. This is the start of the new promise, right? And it's not like the old one was like, it's going to say like it was obsolete, you know? And if anyone's ever had a phone, it's so annoying. Like, do we have any people here that want to keep their phones as long as they possibly could, right? Maybe you have a flip phone still and you're still pressing the number 2 like 3 times to get a C. But like, like I try to hold off as long as possible, right? But then they like, they're smart now. So now they try to, like, if you try to go to something, they'll like, you know, you have to get an upgrade to do this. You got to get a download this. Like they force you, right? And that's kind of what Christianity is, right? It's like our new covenant in Jesus. We can't we can't use it anymore. We can't use Judaism. We can't be righteous by keeping the law. We can't be righteous by keeping commandments. It's obsolete. It's just not, we can't do it. Okay, and this was Ezekiel again. So Matthew and Luke, we know that those are New Testament, right? Ezekiel is Old Testament, okay? I will give you a new heart, Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So the main takeaway, right, if you're going to take away anything, the new covenant, the key is that the old one, he just gave us laws and rules, right? The new covenant, he gives us the power to actually, like, do them, okay? And that's by belief in Jesus. So when we believe that Jesus died for our sins, right, he says he's going to give us a helper. And that helper comes to live inside of us. Now we can actually, you know, do the things he's asking. Otherwise, it's just trying our best, you know, in our own strength. And, you know, we know that that's impossible because we're in these bodies, right? And, you know, these bodies that we're in, these tents, these outward tents that we have, you know, we try to make them look as nice as we can. We try to hold on as long as we could, but we know that this is not our true self, our outward bodies. These are just tents. Our soul is what will live on, right, for eternity. And, you know, that's something that lives on, and that's our true self, right? So that is what God will try to, is what's trying to build up and empower us. The bodies, though, they're dying. The bodies are weak, as we know. So let's get into Hebrews 7, 20 to 22. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, this is speaking of Jesus, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Okay, so the old covenant, it did its job, because the old covenant, the point of it was to produce guilt, okay? And it did its job. Like that's the job of a prosecutor, okay? The job of a prosecutor in a law case is to produce, like to show guilt, like you're guilty, right? And that's what the law did. Like, everyone here has lied. Everyone here, maybe, I don't know about everybody, but maybe you've stolen something, right? Everyone has, you know, maybe made an idol in their heart. Maybe they've hated somebody, and that means, you know, Jesus said that you've killed the person, or, you know, whatever. Everyone sinned, right? We've established that. So that's what the law did. So we're all guilty, for all have, you know, sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of our belief in Jesus, though, now we're under grace and not under law, right? We're under grace and not under law. And grace is not getting what you deserve, right? We're supposed to get hell. We're supposed to, because, you know, we are not perfect. Only perfect people can go to heaven. There are no perfect people, right? So now we're under grace. We're getting what we don't deserve. We're covered now by the blood of Jesus. So when Jesus sees us, when God sees us, he sees perfection, right? But not because of us, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus, right? So he was like the ultimate sacrifice, and now we're covered by that. In Romans 3:21, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay, so this is the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is Old Testament, right? Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, right? You have faith. You look at, you know, you take him on as your sacrifice, right? Now you have the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He redeemed us. Like, we were going to go to the trash pile, like to be burned forever, and he took us out and redeemed us. Okay, by his grace through his redemption, in verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation, that's like a payment, by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. So how do we get this? Through faith in him, in through his righteousness, not our righteousness, right? It's not by following the law. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If you're having frustrating time as a Christian, you may be focusing on your righteousness, okay? I'll say that again. If you're having a frustrating time as a Christian, maybe you're focusing on your righteousness. And if you focus on your righteousness, when we focus on our, I'll say it too, right? When we focus on our righteousness, we're going to be frustrated. Why? Because we mess up, okay? We're still in these bodies, right? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, right? It's not a license to sin. But guess what? We're going to sin. We're going to mess up sometimes. We have to have our focus on Jesus and his righteousness. And then things will start to change when we focus on him. We stop living in condemnation, and now he's able to work in and through us, right? What's going to be more powerful as a Christian? Let me try harder or I give up. It's so different than the world, right? The world says, just try harder. Life as a Christian says, I give up, I can't. Now God's like, okay, good, now I have you. And then when he does change us, right, who gets the glory? He gets the glory, not us just trying really hard. It's him that gets the glory, right? And then he could work in and through us doing unbelievable things, and we know for a fact. So we don't touch God's glory, right? We don't say, wow, I'm pretty awesome. No, we don't touch it because we know that it was God that did, and people will try to give us like the, wow, you're doing great. Well, no, trust me. It's God. Trust me. Right. And you could say that for a fact. In Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Right. Now we're no longer under law. We don't have to worry that, man, I broke the law. Now, that people get mad over that. People got mad at Paul for teaching that. Like, what are you saying? You're going to make the people just start sinning like crazy. But we know that we serve God out of love and not out of that we have to because, we're trying to achieve righteousness. Remember, the focus is righteousness of him. In Hebrews 7:23-25, also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. These are speaking of the priests that used to sacrifice for the people. Remember, you couldn't go straight to God. You had to have a priest to be in the middle. But he, speaking of Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So, the priest that sacrificed back in the Old Testament, there was a priestly order, okay? If you guys don't know, you would bring your, let's say your lamb or your sacrifice to cover for your sins, to pay for your sins, you'd bring it to the priest, and the priest would make a sacrifice for in honor of you to say that your sins were just kind of covered for the time, but they weren't wiped out. They were just kind of covered. And then, you sinned again and you had to do it. Also, there was the time of Yom Kippur where the priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year to sacrifice for like the whole nation, right? But those priests, they died, right? Because they were just humans, right? Jesus, he defeated death, right? So we have a different priest and the sacrifice remains. Priests were just people. They took their positions because of bloodline. Your dad was a line of Levi, so now you now could be a priest, right? They had limited lives, but Jesus did not stay dead. So he can continually offer for our sins rather than a temporary sacrifice that a man did. How cool is that, right? So Jesus' sacrifice, it never ends. It's always there, right? It's not like we have to keep doing it. That's why on the cross he said, it is finished. So he's sitting at the right hand. He's still making, he's intervening for us on our behalf to God. And then who's coming on the other side? The enemy, right? Coming to us, coming to him like he did to Job. Hey, have you checked out this person? You see all the times they mess up, right? But now we have payment because Jesus could just keep saying, well, look, they're paid for. They're clean, right? Because of him, because of their faith in him. So how cool, this is. So if you guys can like just get that thought, it's just continuing, doesn't stop. And it's not dependent on our actions, our righteousness. It's what he did and who he is. So Jesus was God in human form. Only God was able to provide the sacrifices needed. If you remember 2 weeks ago, remember we went over Abraham, and Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. And then in the bushes, there was a ram, and God said, I'll provide a sacrifice. That was a foreshadowing that God will provide himself a sacrifice. And that's the sacrifice we have in the form of Jesus. It all fits together. This is not coincidence. This is not like, oh, wow, that's a cute story. That kind of relates. No, this was all foreshadowing. That's why it's like, man, all this stuff is so weird. Why is this dude in a big fish and gets spits out? And then like, but when you put Jesus in the mix, all of it makes sense. Like, it was all foreshadowing. Passover, I mean, the whole Old Testament. That's why you got to get the whole scripture. And it's just going to really help to increase our faith. So who is God able to save, right? In Romans 8:34, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. So where's Jesus? At the right hand of God, seated, who also makes intercession for us. He's interceding for us right now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through our best? No, through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But maybe you feel that you're far away from God, okay? Maybe it's like, you know, you feel, but we don't rely on our feelings, okay? It's not about feelings. Okay, if you feel far away from God, you know, try to seek him, right? Seek him. Pray. If you need to repent, right? If you need to bring something to him, bring it to him. But God doesn't move, right? We move. We'll move away from him, maybe with our choices, right? But he doesn't, right? God doesn't move. So we gotta, you know, if we seek him, he'll you know, come right. He's right there. He's waiting. Right? He's able to save anyone. He's able to save anyone who comes to God through him. In 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay? One mediator. I remember in high school, I was in this fake class that was called Peer Mediation, and it was like an elective class. And if like two kids had a fight, then the mediators, which was, you know, my group of class, had to, you know, help them in their mediation. So instead of getting like maybe two, I mean, if you guys haven't been in high school recently, this is very common, okay? You have two students, they start talking trash. Usually nobody wants to fight until somebody gets in the middle, and then somebody gets really, like, really tough because someone's holding them back. Like, maybe they'll even go behind somebody and then start trying to push through. If you guys get the visual of that, like, they don't really, if really someone wants to fight somebody, they're the quiet ones. Those are the scary ones. But the loud ones, like the chihuahuas, you know, right? So they don't want to fight. So, of course, if it ever gets to the actual fight part where we could just have a mediation with no suspension, then they'll use a group like mine, peer mediators. And we're like in between the two. We're supposed to help them, you know, come to an agreement. I, you know, this was before Christ. I have to be honest, I wasn't the best student. I used the class mostly to eat pretzels and drink iced teas. But anyway, mediators, okay? So there's someone who's in the middle, right? Now, Jesus is our mediator, okay? Jesus is our mediator. He's between us and God. And we know that there are other mediators, fake mediators, that will not be between us and God, okay? And first off, we need a mediator, because if we try to go, remember, straight to God, like, we'll explode. Like, we can't go to God. Like, too perfect, right? We go to Jesus, right, through him, and then we could get to God through Jesus. But mediators, important. No, the fake mediators. So, like, if we try to get to God through our good works, it's not going to work. We try to get to God through Mary, it's not going to work. We try to get through God through saints, through, you know, dances, through, you know, all these different things that people will try to do to get God's attention or to get to him. It's impossible. We can only get to God through Jesus, right? Very basic for us, but for many people, they think they have to do certain rituals. They have to touch beads on their neck. They have to say a prayer, repeat a prayer. They have to go through a priest, just another person, like a priest, and you know, they confess their sins to get, but those are all things that are keeping us in bondage, because we just have to go straight to Jesus. That's it. Just go straight to Jesus. In verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Okay. This is why it's important. This is our priest. This is our whole high priest. This is Jesus. And has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. So how much sin did Jesus have? None. So he didn't have to sacrifice for himself first and then sacrifice for others, because he was sinless. So that makes him so much more of a higher high priest than this, the human ones, right? And where did this come from? To sacrifice for themselves first. It's in Leviticus 16:6. Aaron shall offer the bull. That's the first, you know, high priest that we have in history. You know, this is Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, because Aaron was a sinner, right? All the Levites were sinners, and make atonement for himself and for his house. But we know that Jesus, he never sinned. He doesn't have to do that for himself. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we kind of forget this. When we were, before accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were enemies with God. Our sin separated us from God, right? We were enemies. We didn't know that, right? And or maybe we did, and we did it, you know, we would live the way we lived on purpose, right? But it says through Jesus, we're reconciled, okay? Reconciliation, that means like coming together, right? That means like if you were having a fight with somebody and then you guys reconciled, that means you made up, right? We are made up with God now. We're good with him because of Jesus. Right. And now we have righteousness because of him. Right. Now look at that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. How many sins did Jesus have? None. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Right. That's the ultimate sacrifice. Right. Higher than the other, just the priests doing it. Now we're moving on to Hebrews 8. And just so you know, chapters and numbers, this was established, later, years later. This is, so, you know, having chapters and numbers is not essential necessarily for reading the Bible. Like, you know, if they weren't there, it's still the Word of God. This is just what man did in their best attempts to try to help us to, you know, go through the scrolls back then and identify stuff. Just a side note. Now, in verse, Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now, this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. So in Mark 16, 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, okay, this is speaking of Jesus, and sat down at the right hand of God. Okay, that's where Jesus is now. In Revelations 3, 19 to 22, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We just went over this morning a little bit. This is speaking to the churches, okay, about the sacrifice through Jesus, you know, making sure that God is leading us, not, you know, us leading ourselves. And Jesus at the right hand of God, because why? The sacrifice is done, okay? The sacrifice is done. So if you guys have ever, I'm going to show you guys a picture in a little bit of the tabernacle, right? And what's cool about the tabernacle is there's no chairs, because they're always working, right? So we'll get into that a little bit, but you could think about, like, how many people had to go to the temple and the tabernacle all the time to keep bringing their offerings, right? All the time, just keep bringing and bringing. The guy's always working. So there's some jobs that if the person's not moving around, like, you wonder, like, are they working? I don't know about you. You guys ever, like, drive around and you see there's work getting done on the roads? Sorry. I think, and you're like, hey, you guys are just talking. What are you, get back to work. Like, you know, this traffic stinks, right? Right? So we're like, there's certain jobs where if they're not working, you know, it's obvious, right? Now, the same thing with the priests, right? The priests, like, there was no seats there. They were always doing something. They were giving up offerings. They were, you know, doing different types of things in the temple. But Jesus, though, he's sitting, right? Because the sacrifice was done. It's finished. It was finished. So Jesus is God in human form, and he was the only way to directly connect us to the Father. Okay. He's that bridge from humans to the Father is only through him. So we can deduce, though, that in heaven, that there may be some type of tabernacle that God and Moses, you know, God was giving the blueprints to kind of build a replica of in heaven, because it references it in here. It says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which is in heaven, which the Lord erected and not man. So it's kind of interesting what we might see in heaven. You know, there's that song, like, you know, what's heaven going to be like? You know, so it's going to blow our minds. In Hebrews 8:3, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it's necessary that this one, speaking of Jesus, also have something to offer, right? The high priest, they offered gifts and sacrifices for the people to God. They were the middleman from people to God, people to God, right? Now we get to God through Jesus, through our faith in Jesus. This one gave the ultimate sacrifice, right? So instead of us having to bring lambs and goats to sacrifice for our sins, Jesus was that sacrifice, right? Then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all know that, right? But this is a scripture that really backs up just that all it's faith in Jesus. He offered the sacrifice. The lamb that used to be for the people's sins was now through Jesus. In verse 4 and 5, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, right? So what's going on in heaven is the real thing, and then what goes on here is like just the shadows, the copy and shadow, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So Jesus ascended to heaven to make the actual sacrifice for us, right? So like, he couldn't do that here, because the real tabernacle is in heaven. So he had to go up there to do it, right? And this is a picture you know, as far as what the Bible describes, it might not be exact, okay, but we could imagine that there might be something similar in heaven, okay? So you have the entrance, right, and then you have the altar, right, where they make sacrifices, the laver, where you would wash. Then there's the holy place, and then the holy of holies you see in the top, in the, I guess, all the way back there, okay, you would see the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the, you know, the presence of God was. And you couldn't get there, right? You couldn't just walk in there, right? You couldn't just go through the front, you know, burst open the curtain, kick open the the other, and be like, hey, I'm here. Like, you'll get wiped out, right? You don't do that. So how did we get there? You had to go through the priests back then. But now we get through God boldly. We could come boldly to the throne of grace through Jesus, right? He changed it up. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So the old temple and the tabernacle was the covenant that God made with the people on Mount Sinai. Okay, Moses went up to Mount Sinai. He got the Ten Commandments. Now through Jesus, we have this new covenant. And again, likewise, he took also this cup and after supper, saying, this is the covenant, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Hebrews 7:4. If that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So if that covenant, right, the first one that he made with the Jews, was perfect, right? If it was perfect and it was no need for a new one, then why would he have promised that there was going to be a new covenant in Jeremiah and in other places? Why would he do that? Because there was faults in it. It was just a guide to get us there. Right? So this new covenant now is through Jesus. How many Christians are saved by the new covenant but are caught up in the mindset of the old covenant? Okay? And we could all do that, right? We're saved by grace, but then we feel like we give ourselves rules, we give ourselves regulations, and we start to think that we're saved by our own best effort. Like, if I do this, if I give to the needy, I'm good with God. If I, watch this on TV, then I'm bad with God. Like, and we're just constantly living, again, by our own righteousness. We're free. We're free from that. And as our expression of joy from being free from the law and our own actions, we're going to now conform our lives more to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us out of love and not necessity. We're not saved by our own works. We're saved through the works of Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Is God rich in mercy? Yes, God is very rich in mercy, right? Not giving us what we deserve. And more so, okay, very patient. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. No one's going to be in heaven saying, I got here because I'm such a great person. We get to heaven because of our faith in Jesus, what Jesus did. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So where does this, the good works come? They come after we put our faith, then he changes us up from the inside out, and now we start doing some of these things. Like, now we start loving others. God starts burdening our hearts for others. God starts, getting us out of ourselves to go share with others. And it's a supernatural thing. And if you're not saved, this stuff seems like just craziness, right? Like, I was telling a story to Jefferson about just this guy's, how he got saved. It was a wild story. It was like the guy went to go get some juice, and then he went next door because he you know, heard that there was a church next door. He got in, he got saved. You know, he accepted Jesus, got baptized right there. And then, you know, which is like wild in itself. Like you just walk into a random place and just get baptized. Like that's pretty, like if as a Christian, it's like, oh, that's nice. But like, do you remember like what we thought like before becoming a Christian? Like that's crazy. Like walking into a church is scary enough. Like you don't know what's in there. Like I could be running up and down the aisles right now. Like who knows what I could be doing? Like it'd be like, it's scary. Walking into church is scary. You know, now, you know, you get comfortable and stuff, you see it, you know, but you have to be careful, right? What's out there. But so then the guy, oh man, the story is pretty wild. I don't know if I want to share all the details. Long story short, the dad was saved. The dad, you know, shared, you know, his last words before the dad died was, you know, we fight a spiritual war. The dad was on fire Christian. The kids were rebellious. They didn't want to follow Christ. He's like, we fight a spiritual war. Long story short, the son who just got saved is in a situation where he wants to go back to violence because that's what he grew up doing. He was just, you know, as my coworker describes him, is he was reckless. He's reckless from the age of 12. He's just bad. He's bad. But God now is changing him. So he's trying to go back to his roots and he's about to like, you know, but he just hears his dad's voice and he gets so frustrated because he can't do what he used to do where he just laid down and screamed out in the middle of the funeral, like, God help me, God help me. And at that moment, like the police come in and do what he wanted to do. He removed this person that needed to get removed. And it's like, to the world, that's just like what? But to a Christian, it's like Tuesday. It's like, it's like, wow. Like, cause there's this whole world, this like these spiritual things that happen, like that we're not even shocked anymore. So then I'm sharing with my coworker, and I'm just like, you know, and I shared with him, like, you know, this fight that we have, it's spiritual. He starts crying. I start crying in the middle of the weight room. This is today, right? And he's like, yo, those were my dad's last words to me. And, you know, and I'm encouraging him, and I'm just like, look, I'm like, your dad's trying to speak to you. You know, I'm trying to speak to you, but it's not us. God's trying to speak to you. I'm like, these weights can start speaking to you. I'm like, God's used donkeys. God, you can use rocks. Like, God loves you, right? And I'm sharing this, you know, this story to Jefferson. He's just like, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, like, I wouldn't even believe this. But we have these spiritual eyes to see that there's this whole world. And that's what's one of the great parts about getting together is that, you know, we're not weird when we get together, even though we know this stuff exists. We know this stuff happens, like the supernatural, not like Oogie Boogie, the way I thought supernatural was, where like, you know, did you hear that? Or like you have some, you know, infrared camera. Oh, did you see that shadow? Like not that weird stuff, but there's supernatural world that we live in and God works in the hearts and uses us in miraculous ways. And those are like, that stuff becomes more real than us being here right now. And when you live in that place, you know that you're walking, you know, where God wants you to. Not that we have to search for like emotional things, but just to be ready, like in season, out of season, to share. Because God, you know, there's no real life and death. You know, every second someone's dying and going to hell, right? That's real. There's a spiritual war for souls. Right? Like the enemy hates us. The enemy hates you. The enemy hates your marriage. Enemy hates your kids. And they want to get to them any way possible. And when we lose sight of that, like we forget sometimes we're in the middle of a war, like a real war, right? If there was the threat of a bomb dropping on us, we'd have a little more urgency. But we get comfortable and we forget that we're in an actual war. We have to guard our marriages. We got to guard our friendships. We got to guard our children. And we have to always be on guard, not just when we feel good, especially when we don't feel good, right? And it's those times that we come together, we get like kind of just recharged to fight this battle. And it has to be every day, daily. Because who knows, like when you're open to what God wants to do in your life and you're open and looking, like God, the laborers are few, but like the harvest is plentiful. They're out there. People need forgiveness through Jesus. So if we could see in the picture on the screen, the first covenant was the righteousness of the law, and that just brought condemnation, right? The second covenant, remember, again, is the righteousness through Jesus. If you feel like you sinned and you messed up, Well, then, good. You're in the right place, because we're focusing on the righteousness of Jesus, not our righteousness. And now we can have reconciliation with God. We were at war with him. We were at enmity with God. And now we're good with God because of our faith in Jesus. He doesn't see us anymore in our sins. His son is covering us. Now we're sinless because of Jesus. Because in verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. So God would not give us a covenant, a new covenant, unless there was a problem with the old one. Okay, and we live on the other side of the covenant. Jeremiah wrote it in the future. Okay. In verse 8, it says, God will make, not we will make. We cannot, okay? In verse 8, it says, God will make, all right? We cannot do it. When the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, right? The Jewish people, remember, had walked through, they saw water, okay? Separate in the middle, right? And they walked through it. They were slaves. They walked through it, right? And you would think, well, man, like, if I saw some of those things, like, I would never walk away from God, okay? It didn't take long before they made a whole golden calf and started, like, you know, Millie rocking. Well, I don't know if you guys know him. They started dancing around the whole golden calf, right? They were just, like, Running Man. They were, like, God just did crazy miracles. And why, though? Because they're incapable. The old covenant was incapable of producing righteousness. It's impossible. But now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, now we can. Okay, this is the new covenant for everybody. In Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Before, you had to be Jewish. Now all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So I just talked about this a few weeks ago at our Zoom call. Okay, Peter shares with Gentiles and they get saved in Acts 10:15. And a voice spoke to him again, speaking to Peter. Because remember, at this time, they only thought that God was for the Jews. All right. And again, spoke to Peter a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And then fast forward to verse 28 in Acts 10, if you want to check it out on your own. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Whoever fears, right? That's whoever, not just for the Jews. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen to preach to the people and testify, chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remissions of sins. Whoever believes in Jesus will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, this is like the stamp, okay, that God gives. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So when you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That's the proof, right? That's the proof that Jesus died for your sins. Like, even if, you know, you feel like you messed up, right? And you feel guilty, right? You feel this, not condemnation, but you feel like, man, I need to do something with this sin. That's, you know, that could be proof that the Holy Spirit is either, you know, trying to get you to repent and accept Jesus, or that you are a Christian and that he's just trying to, you know, help you to have, like, you know, clean up your life to be able to hear from him more, right? When God, you know, you start to hear God's voice and you start to kind of know that God is speaking to you to share with somebody, to do something that goes, doesn't glorify you, but glorifies him, that probably is the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit's going to bring glory to Jesus, right? Those things, whenever you doubt, whenever you're like, oh, I don't feel, you know, whatever, it's, God's the same, thankfully. We change. We might feel holy one day, not holy the next day, but God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, right? And in 45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. So the Jews were astonished, right? Because they were like, what are these Gentiles? What are these Goyim? Like, why are they receiving the Holy Spirit? This is bugging me out. And as many as came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So now it's on whoever believes, Gentiles and Jews, and it's about Jesus. In Hebrews 10, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is being obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So again, talking about obsolete, the old is done. It's gone. Living by the law is done. It's gone. Now it's through faith in Jesus. This is not a tablet of stone, but now it's on our hearts, right? God writes this stuff on our hearts. This is not just head knowledge. This is an experiential heart knowledge that only the Holy Spirit could do. It's supernatural. And we now serve him out of love. We listen as he cleans up our life. He conforms us to the image of Jesus. We're never going to be Jesus. He just starts to conform our life. Remembering our sins no more is not a lack of ability from God. It's not that he can't remember. It's that he's not holding it against us anymore. And finally, to close, in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know of him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And these are the promises that God has made to us. So I'm going to close this in prayer. And if anyone needs any prayer for after service, after we dismiss, you're welcome to come up and we could pray for you for whatever you need. We want to be able to minister to you. So Lord, thank you again for today. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that you have with us. I pray for everyone who heard the word today, that we can be encouraged, that we could walk in grace and not in law. And we could accept this grace through you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. Please empower us to do what we can't do in our own flesh. Help us to be lights. Help us to share with who you want us to share and walk out in this new life that you have called for us. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for today. Please help us to get home safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.